Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mufti Hassan Ali Suleiman, hope you well this morning.
Wa alaikum assalam, alhamdulillah. Things fine over here. How is South Africa?
Alhamdulillah, South Africa is going strong, I think. Well, at least here in my studio, there's not much, conflict or any disturbances, turbulence. Alhamdulillah, we must make shukr for that. The kidnappings, that's still a bit of a worry and concern here in South Africa. There was a couple that was kidnapped just 2 days back, but alhamdulillah, within a day also, they were released again, once again. So we hope that our South Africans can wake up, especially the Muslim Ummah. This is an opportunity for you now, because Muslims just generally, they don't fear. They fear Allah Azza wa Jal. That's whom they fear. But when the love for the dunya and the rest comes in, then of course there's other fears as well that comes with it. But when you've given up, turned your back to the dunya and your focus is on Allah, then your fear for Allah allows you not to fear anything else. And then you are able to deal with these issues more resiliently, like we've seen in the past, and Muslims standing up and against these brutalities that are taking place. Pakistan, is there anything like anything called kidnapping there?
Yes, of course, there's kidnapping here. The normal kidnapping for ransom. Basically, that's it. Not that new stuff that's happening over there in South Africa with the sexual assault along with the kidnapping. But the normal kidnappings are done here because there's rich people that have money and other people that want to take their money. And basically, it's people who have money, but they haven't gotten their money in the halal way. So Allah is taking it away from them. Okay, they acquired it in a haram way. So Allah is making it halal by taking it away from them with extra. It happens here. It happens here.
What goes around comes around. So you stole someone else's money, so it comes. I recall once we were coming back from Durban. Now Durban is about 550 kilometers from where we're staying now.
Okay.
So on our way back, we stopped somewhere. It was a bit late. We got a bit late, and it was about 12 o'clock. And we needed to use the relief centers, we call it. My father calls it the Israeli embassies. So we needed to go there and relieve ourselves. So as I was coming out...
We say Khomeini's house. I was from the madrasa, we call it Khomeini's house.
Alhamdulillah. You have to
know exactly what you're talking about.
You have to teach our children and teach them that which is going to instill that hatred for all of this that people are doing and the rest. So this is one way as well. As we were coming out,
exactly,
we saw this group of, and it looked like Muslims to me, but they came in with one set of clothing and they left out with, but they weren't locals. These were foreigners from different countries.
Okay.
Now, if I pinpoint one country, they'll say you're just targeting this country. But nonetheless, they came in with one set of clothing. It's like 12 o'clock, midnight, and coming out dressed, and they look like they're on a mission. And they left one car there, jumped in another car, and Allah don't knows what had taken place there. But till today, I just wonder what's... Like, you hear all these things, but who's behind it? So, a lot of them say it's the foreigners and I don't know what, but Allah Azza wa Jalla have mercy. These calamities will come as long as we do not rectify and reform ourselves. Mufti Sahab, they in Pakistan, now you've mentioned there was a particular incident that took place. Maybe you just want to tell us what happened exactly.
Yeah, it happened in Riven, not in the Marquez, but the city arriving, okay, or the village arriving. Two brothers, blood brothers, okay, they went to buy bananas. And the bananas cost 130 rupees. So the one who wanted it, he had a 100 rupee note and a 5,000 rupee note. And the banana seller didn't have any change. And so the buyer requested, okay, take off a couple of the bananas until it goes down to 100, and I'll give you the 100. So rather than accepting that offer, the seller calls his friends who are playing cricket nearby, and they start beating these two buyers, the two brothers. They were playing cricket, and so they beat them with cricket bats. Mm. Okay, now everybody involved is Muslim here. We got no, it was an unprovoked attack, according to the newspaper, unprovoked. And it wasn't a Sunni Shia or Brahvi, Jovan or something like that. It was two normal people, okay? So the two brothers, they were killed in cold blood.
They were killed?
One shot, they were beaten to death. Yes, they both died. Mm. One died immediately, and the second one died after he went to the hospital.
Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi
raji'un. I think the next day.
Mm.
Okay. So one person was arrested at the time of the report, and they were going after others, looking for others. And I think a day or two later, there was a report that they did catch like two or three others. And they're being charged. But the two brothers have been, the janazas were done already, okay? And the families want more people arrested because during the incident, other people were watching. Mm. And instead of calling the police or coming in between, telling the people to stop, they're filming it.
Mm.
Okay? Muslims filming Muslims killing Muslims. Mm. And this is incredible. So the families, the relatives, they want more arrests because there's so many different people that have their cameras on and nobody said a word like stop. Not one stop. Okay? Or not one call to the police. We have your phone. You can at least call the police. You know, what are we taught? You see a wrong, you have to stop it with your hand.
All right.
So and you don't have a weapon, and they're beating these two people with cricket bats. All right, so you can't do it with your hand, so at least say something.
Hmm.
Can you say stop? And if you can't do that, then can you at least call the police since your phone is working? None of that was done. So, and again, this is in Riven, not in the Marquez, but, you know, in that city. Where you have so many bayans and so many ijtimas and, you know, big jamaats, you would feel that the presence of the Marquez would have a more calming and soothing feeling for everyone, you know, whether you're in the Marquez or not. But that wasn't the case. So this is terrible. Okay? This is Pakistan. All right, can we blame America on this? Can we blame Israel on this? You want to boycott? You boycott Coca-Cola, but someone wants to buy bananas from you, homegrown bananas, as you know. And because you can't agree on the price, and you don't have change or whatever, you beat the man to death.
Mm.
It's and his brother, and the brother that died later was single. He was never married. Okay, but the one, the first one who was killed, he was married and he had five children. He leaves a wife and five children, mm-hmm. and he was shaheed because he didn't have the right money for the bananas.
Mm. Of course, this year, as I'm reading it, and as you were speaking. It's looks like the blame has to be on the seller because he didn't want to give change. And he's forcing, you can't force a buyer to purchase something that is he doesn't want to purchase. He purchased his amount. You can't force him. That is why Bay is done with happiness from both parties, the seller and the buyer.
Right.
So here you're forcing him and you don't want to give him his change. And over bananas, literally over bananas, this whole thing ensued. I wasn't aware that you were going to say they were killed for this. And that's why I was shocked. I thought probably a fight just ensued or something, but to kill people over this, and as you've said, Muslims, you can't blame no Israelis, no, you can't blame nobody here. It's Muslims who are doing these things. One person only locked up, imprisoned, and you've said the family wants more people to be locked up. It couldn't have been only just one person doing all the hitting and the rest.
Right, because they were playing cricket and it seemed like there were several people more that was taking the side of the seller. Okay, I think a day or two later after that report, it was reported that the seller wasn't the one that had the cricket bat that killed the first boy. All right. That was someone else. That person was arrested.
Mm.
All right. Because they have it on video. They could identify him easily. So he was arrested. Okay. And again, they had the janazas. And after the janazas, the family said, no, we want more people arrested. Okay. Not just the ones that did the beating and the killing, but the ones who watched it and filmed it.
Mm.
They're just as culpable.
Mm. But I don't think they will be imprisoned because they can come out of it easily by saying that, no, we were actually just videoing it so that we can inform people what was happening and we have evidence. They can. People are shrewd with these things.
Yeah, we're supposed to have 70 excuses, right? No, brother. you can't make 70 excuses for these people.
No, of course.
As a matter of fact, you need to add another one. You have to make 71. That one you just gave is not gonna move anything. That won't move the needle. I'm sorry. Oh, stuff for a lot.
No, but I'm just thinking aloud.
You call the police and you say everything, and then when you hang up after you made the call, then you continue to film.
No,
if you're gonna do that.
No,
you're part of it. I agree with the family, but yeah, and I agree with you. Nothing will happen.
No, okay? What I'm saying
at
is,
least it may start something. Mm. It may start something in a precedent that in the future, na'uzubillah, if it ever happens again, something like that, that if people film a murder or a crime and did not make any attempt to contact the police or to stop the crime from being happening, then maybe there will be some lesser punishment, but some sort of a punishment, a fine or something like this.
Mm. No, I'm not standing up for these people. What I'm saying is people use these lame excuses just to get out of situations. So we found just a few weeks ago, it was another similar situation where it was one of these restaurants or takeouts at one of the local garages where they fill the filling stations. So lots of Muslims gather there. Lots of Muslims take their smart cars and everyone, it's become like something that you've got to be sitting around there. It's not just eating. It's just showing off your car, showing off who you are, showing off your clothes, showing off your status, your identity. And
okay.
Allah's wrath descends upon these places. So what happened was one brother decided that no, he decides to rev his car. Now these new cars, if you've heard them in Pakistan, I'm not sure, but here it's really a nuisance. It's causing so much of pain to the elderly people. Sometimes I'm speaking to elderly people, and this guy will come and rev his car. This elderly person, you just feel them sorry because you can notice the pain that they're going through. But who is there to worry about this? Then you look at neighbors and the rest, how much of noise and what a nuisance you're being. But youth are youth, intoxicated in their own world. So they revving, this boy is revving his car, and one of the workers, waiters, they came outside and they just humbly, it seemed, or that's what we heard at least, to say that, you know, I just put this, don't do this here. This person became, right. This youngster became so angry, his father jumped in, and they were here to just hear the kind of punches that these individual were giving this worker just for saying, put down your rev tone. You don't have to do that here. You could argue what were the Muslims doing there in the first place and partying and all of this here at this particular time when people, our Palestinians, are dying. I mean, we've lost humanity. That's far gone and buried under the sand. But this year is just like Muslims against Muslims, and we're so proud. So one, at that particular time as well, one Maulana came out and he said, we shouldn't be exposing people who are doing these things, and we should rather hide their identities and all of the rest. But it wasn't a solution to the problem. The solution is simple. You shouldn't be going and hanging out at these places. Finish. Of course, here is a shop. This is a different situation. You people have to go and purchase and bananas, something. And this particular scene had occurred. But we have to go back to what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that the marketplaces is where Allah's wrath descends upon. And that is why when we witness a lesson for me, myself, the listeners, when you go in there, then you have to recite the words which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us. And there are major rewards in this year. A million times, or a million sins of yours is wiped off. A million rewards written on your name. A palace for you in Jannah. La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah, lawul mulku wa lawul hamd. يحيي ويميت وهو حي لا يموت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير. Just yesterday, Mufti Sahib, I came out of the shop and I was walking across to my car. So this one brother greeted him and he's asking me, how's my family? I'm asking him, how's his family? The rest. He left me silenced, what you call mic dropping moment. So he said, you just came out of the shop now. But what a good reminder. This is what we should be encouraging. He said, how many people you reminded to recite this dua? The one that I just recited now. La ilaha illallah wahdahu.
Right.
How many people have you reminded? So I just looked down and he said, So I said, yeah, I recited it. But how many people did I tell to recite it? That's a good... That's what the Quran Sharif is telling us. Wa tawasaw bil haqqi wa tawasaw bis sabr. Encourage the truth. So this, how to go about in the marketplace. This is something that we need to teach the Ummah. And I think it goes back to that. Because things can get really ugly. And then you just think of that hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where the Sahabi asked, what must we do when people are oppressing us to such extent? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you make sure you fulfill your rights and ask Allah to fulfill the rights that's due upon you. The rights that people have to fulfill, you ask Allah. And this is the kind of zamana that we're living in. I mean, you want your change, but you can't get it.
Yeah, sabr is needed now. We're definitely in the place... in the time with to act on the deen is like handling hot coals. We are definitely there. It's at the end. somehow. I can't believe how cheap life is. All right, two people lost their life over 30 rupees. Hmm. If they had 30 rupees more, they would have been able to just give the exact change to the seller, and he would have accepted it. Hmm. But it wasn't their fault. They had the complete amount of money, but the seller didn't have change. They had 5,000 rupees, so that was more than enough, but he didn't have change. Okay, so let's bargain now. If 12 bananas are 130, then give me 10 for 100, or give me 9 for 100, and then you can have that money, and I can have some bananas. But I have 5 children at home, all right, and myself and my wife, so that's 7. I need at least 7 bananas. But to lose your life over a 30 rupee dispute, that says a lot about the iman of the people right now. You know, we just finished celebrating, you know, the 14th of August in Pakistan, Zindabad, and this is how we treat each other day to day. On a normal day, this is when you can lose your life over 30 rupees. Mm. Okay, that's how it is now. That's the reality. That's sad.
And what's the law now with regards to the person, the killer, or those who were participants in the actual killing, and especially the one that is in prison? What happens to him? Is he just in prison for a few days and then he gets out, or what happens to him?
No, I think he'll go to trial. I think this person will go to trial. It doesn't seem like he's a VIP type person or from a VIP family. So, you know, I believe he'll go to trial. And since it made the newspaper this way, and I said the relatives, the surviving relatives are, you know, very active in this thing now, I don't think they'll be able to allow this guy to get away.
Okay.
The people that did it, the seller and the one who killed the boy with the cricket bat. Hmm. That video is still there, you know, so fresh in the minds of the people.
Hmm.
So I don't think he'll get away with it.
But according to Pakistani law, are they hands on these particular instances? Does the death penalty apply, or what happens?
It probably does. I'm not sure. I haven't heard too many people being convicted. Since in the 30 years that I've been here, I've heard, like, on Eid or Muharram, the president may, you know, pardon people that were in jail. Okay. But I haven't read, you know, cases where killers that have been caught have gone to trial and been given a death penalty. Maybe because most of the time, if someone kills someone and the police went after him and the police caught him, he was killed in an encounter.
Okay.
Okay. And so that's what will normally happen.
Mm.
But very few people that have committed murder since I've been here that I have read that they were caught or went to trial and given the death penalty, although it is on the books. But like I said, it's rare that happens. Most people are, most killers are shaheed.
Mm.
Okay. one time, I was in a rickshaw. A rickshaw driver was telling me how in this area in Karachi has a lot of dacoits, a lot of criminals, robbers, and what have you. And so he heard they make the announcement at the masjid, okay, that Falan dacoit was shaheed in a police encounter.
Hmm.
Okay, and they explained just like that in Urdu, but just like that, they explained it. That they gave the man's name, and then before his name, they put the adjective Dakoi, and at the end of his name, they put Shaheed, and because of a police encounter. So the police shot this thief, and he's considered Shaheed. Okay, And his janazah will be after Asr and da 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 da. Okay, so this is the mindset here in Pakistan.
It sounds like it sounds like one of those poems Iqbal would make about something like this here. You know, you make all these poems like this here. This person died as a criminal. But people will say, call him Shaheed. Anyway.
But Jannat is full of Pakistanis and they're all Shaheed. Okay? Zulfiqar Ali Bhutto, he was hung by the government, but the college is named Shaheed Zulfiqar Ali Bhutto University. So, everybody's Shaheed. In Pakistan, there's no room in Jannat for people like me and you who are not Pakistani, because it's full of Pakistanis who have two things going for them. So many are Sayyid, okay? You see so many signs here, S.M. Iqbal, for example, Sayyid Muhammad Iqbal. They put S.M. and then they put their other name. So everyone here is Sayyid, and everyone here who has died, they're Shaheed. And Zindabad. Okay, so there's no room for like people like me and you. Jannat is full of Pakistanis.
The way we're supposed to check this whole thing, because I remember here in Lanesia, one Egyptian, he came to me and he said, I'm a Sayyid, this, that, the other. So I said, okay. Now we learned this from the senior Muftis, and that when someone says they're Sayyid, you don't have to reject them and you don't have to believe them also. But if you really want to believe them, you can ask them that, okay, show me your evidence in your lineage, how it goes up. Show me some evidence. Even if someone comes and they show you a hair and they say, this is the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you can demand and say, okay, where's the, show me the sanad, where it goes up to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because every person's supposed to have it, then we can believe you. But you get all these people. So this Egyptian, I asked, he told me he's a family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I said, okay, show me. So he pulled out an email document of something with his surname on it. Okay. And he says, yeah, look, I'm a Sayyid. So I said, that's not true. Sayyid means sir also. So you could put Sayyid there also to say sir, so and so. So...
SubhanAllah.
But anyway, SubhanAllah. Yeah, it's just tragic to hear about this Mufti going back to that. Allah make it easy for the Ummah. And hopefully we get truthful leaders. But as you've said always, this depends on us. It goes back to us. We need to change our actions. So tomorrow, inshallah, we'll meet you same time and over the airwaves. Make dua for us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.